Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. While I kept silent, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. And then I acknowledged my sin to you. And I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you. At a time of distress, the rush of mighty waters shall not reach them. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be like a horse or a mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with bit and bridle, else it will not stay near you. Many are the torments of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. The poem begins with the words, happy are those. A more common translation would be, blessed are those. You could translate it even as the good fortune of those. We see this kind of phrasing here and there throughout Scripture, and we know exactly what to call it, beatitude. Beatitude is a pronouncement of what the good life looks like, what the happy, blessed, and fortunate life looks like. On Wednesday night, Arlen called beatitude a description of bliss. I like that. I think that's spot on. And if you ask Psalm 1, the happy, blessed, and fortunate life is that of daily submersion into Scripture. If you ask Jeremiah chapter 17, the happy, blessed, and fortunate life is one that puts all of its trusts in God and really none of its trust in mighty leaders. If you ask Jesus, the happy, blessed, and fortunate life is to belong to God in His kingdom, even in poverty or spiritual poverty, even in grief or persecution. And if you ask Psalm 32, which is what I just read, the happy, blessed, and fortunate life is to experience forgiveness, to receive the good news that God is looking at you and seeing something other than the mistakes you've made and the trust you've broken. Psalm 32, the poet here is jumping for joy at being seen by God because God is seeing the human being apart from sin. You and I could probably use some practice at this, couldn't we? We're pretty good at punishing ourselves for our shortcomings and our mistakes. Sometimes we might even have an easier time going easy on someone else than we do going easy on ourselves. But here is Psalm 32 rejoicing that God has come close and forgiven all those mistakes. Surely this is the happiest life that there is to be lived. And the forgiveness being described here in Psalm 32, it is nothing short of a miracle. The poet makes no mention whatsoever of any plan or action or works, to use the Apostle Paul's preferred term, any works that will manufacture this forgiveness. It is a forgiveness that simply is. Because that's just how the heart of God works. It is in God's nature to forgive. God does not have to be convinced to forgive. He looks at you and me and he sees something other than sin. He sees his creation, something that he put a lot of love and care and skill into making. That's what God sees when he looks at you, church. So go. No, God does not have to be convinced to forgive us. He already wanted to. Forgiveness was his idea, not ours. No wonder this poem begins with the word happy. And this is why the Apostle Paul quotes a little bit of Psalm 32 in Romans chapter 4 that we read last week. Because the happy, blessed, and fortunate life of belonging to Jesus, of being forgiven and redeemed by Jesus, is not something that we manufacture for ourselves. It is, in fact, nothing short of a miracle because it is something that God has freely given. Not something we put all of our effort into creating. And in the same way that Abraham did not work to convince God to bless him with a family and with a covenant, in the same way you and I have not convinced God to forgive us and redeem us and bring us into his family and renew us. It's what Jesus already wanted to do before you and I ever would have thought to ask for it. To belong to Jesus is not something that I achieve by my works and my efforts. And more to Paul's point throughout Romans, to belong to Jesus is not something that one faction of the church has achieved through the proper system of correct religious works, while some other faction of the church just can't figure things out. No, this forgiveness, this belonging to Christ, it is a miracle. And miracles don't come from you and me, do they? Now here in Psalm 32, there is responsibility placed on you and me. The poet recalls this anguish of what it was like to keep sin a secret. And then the poet recalls the felt relief of confessing those sins out loud. while I was silent. My body wasted away through my groaning all day long, the poet says. And your hand, Lord, was heavy upon me. My spirit, my life, it felt dried up like the middle of summer. And the guilt that the poet is feeling over sins that he doesn't want to admit to. He does at least perceive that all the sorrow, all the distress created by it is one and the same as the hand of God alerting the poet to something that is deeply, deeply broken and in need of healing. And so as soon as sins are acknowledged and confessed out loud, there's this explosively joyful new experience of forgiveness. According to Psalm 32, confession is quite the effective medicine for a broken spirit. And now the poem radiates with joy and praise and glad cries of deliverance. And God himself even chimes in with the promise of instruction and renewal because forgiveness is not God's way of ignoring sin. Forgiveness is God's way of transforming us into people of his image over whom sin has lost its power and influence. There is every reason under the sun, church, that we should be the happiest people on earth. Because we're the people that gather on a regular basis to proclaim that God has forgiven. The happy, blessed, and fortunate life of being claimed by Jesus, being forgiven and redeemed by Jesus, it is perfectly and completely open to us. And the burden to enter that life is not on our shoulders. It's on Jesus' shoulders, and he already took care of it. God is looking at you and me right now and seeing something other than sin. He is seeing a people that he has made and that he loves. He is seeing a people that he believes is, in fact, worth his time to forgive and transform. You and I, church, are recipients of a miracle. A miracle of being forgiven and loved, and the miracle of belonging to Jesus. Our sin does not change that. Our efforts and works don't change it either because it was God's idea in the first place. So let us take seriously this responsibility of confessing our sins to God and to one another. Find someone, just one person you trust and confide in them. And the pleasant surprise here is usually the response is grace. Well, this also takes seriously our calling to not just be forgiven by God, but to forgive one another. Because who are we to accept a miracle from God and then not share it with each other? And let us, church, take seriously our responsibility to be the happiest people on earth. That is your calling from today. Go be the happiest person in the room. You should be. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. While I kept silent, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. But then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you at a time of distress. The rush of mighty waters shall not reach them. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be like a horse or a mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with bit and bridle, else it will not stay near you. Many are the torments of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you now thankful. Thankful for your love. A love that you don't make us work for, but a love that you give us just because it's what you want to do. Thank you for loving us that much. Thank you for the ways you take care of us. Thank you for giving us Jesus to die for us. Thank you for giving us your Spirit to guide us. And that is our prayer, that your love and your Spirit would guide us from this place into the coming week. This is our prayer in the name of your precious Son, Jesus. Amen. So in Acts chapter 2, Peter is speaking to a crowd of people talking about guilt. Talking about what it is that led to Jesus having to die in the first place. Human guilt, human sin. The crowd is listening. The crowd heard this, and they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven. And so you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise, it's for you, it's for your children, it's for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. If God is calling you to be baptized today, then let Psalm 32 and Acts chapter 2 and the whole witness of Scripture assure you that will be the happiest choice you've ever made, to belong to Jesus and to say yes to the forgiveness that he has already offered to you. That is the happiest, most blessed, most fortunate life available to you. So if you are feeling called to be baptized today, or if there's any sorrow, any stress, anything you need to give a voice to, let this church pray for you while we stand and sing.